Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, August 26th, the last Friday in August. Great to be with you this month. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are in the chapter There's a Solution on page 24. We're reading the second paragraph, which begins with the almost certain consequences and ends with keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. Today's readers are Marietta P. for the 12 Steps, Mary P. for the 12 Traditions, Shelley E., Julie E.B., and Robin P. is here for backup. Thank you for that. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19332. That's 19,332 for Thursday, August 25th. At 10 a.m. The reference number for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting for Friday, August 26th is 19334. That's 19,334. BOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through the abstinence and practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will ask Marietta P. to please read those 12 steps for us.
Hi, Marietta P. here. 12 steps. Okay. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could destroy us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all our defects of character. Eight, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Made a list of all persons we've harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory. When we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Marietta P. And Mary P. will now read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service this month, and I'll pass.
Thank you for your service, Mary P. Wonderful. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what our directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. When you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Please use the star 1 function on your keypad. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 24 in the second paragraph, and I will now ask Shelley E. to please begin reading.
Good morning. Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 24. The almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they're hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. Again, Shelley E. in Arlington, Texas. I think this is a wonderful analogy. I can't even think of a better one. I know that before I came into the rooms, I was in a position where I don't care how much I had of something or how late in the night. The next day, I literally, I would think, that was kind of bad, but I didn't even remember the extent of it or the terribleness of it. That's not even a word, but it was terribleness. I was in such a haze, and I didn't even know what a food coma was until I got into the room and found out more about myself, my disease, and my addiction. And I guess for years I was functioning in that food coma and haze. And really that's what brought me in the rooms. Yes, I had 130 pounds to lose. I'd done that before. It was the crazy. It was the serenity that I came in for and that I've received. At this point, when I'm reading this in the Big Book with my sponsees, I always like to tell the story that when I met my husband, he was 22 years old, and he hadn't had chocolate in 13 years. And to me, I thought, what? Why? And he said, I had it one night. I had a whole Easter bunny, and I got sick that night, and so I just never had it again. And I thought, oh, my God, I could have gotten sick on that Easter bunny last night, and I would have been back at the store to buy one. It just blew my mind that someone could go that long having gotten sick on something. But, for him, that was that's normal, and probably for most people, that's normal. For me, that is just, that's crazy thinking. Little did I realize that my thinking, was loony bin thinking. So I couldn't even remember, you know, having been burned the night before by not the hot stove, but by, you know, my addictive substance. You know, that wasn't even enough to keep me away from it the next day. It took my higher power, fellowship, and, you know, frankly, vision to get me there. And I'm so grateful to be where I am now. With that, I'll pass. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. Greatest illustration. Although we value everybody's experience, strength, and hope, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on a meeting since Wednesday and you'd like to comment on this paragraph, we'd love to hear from you. Please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name. Line's wide open.
This is Linda KG from Tulsa.
Linda KG, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Anybody else? We'd love to hear from you.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Robin P.
Robin P. Well, let's get started with Linda K., Bruce C., and then Robin P., and I'm sure their shares will inspire you, unless anybody else wants to jump in the lineup right now.
Joan R.
Joan R. Anybody else? Okay, Linda K.G., please share with us.
Hi, my name is Linda K.G., and I'm a recovering compulsive eater. Abstinent for today, and I'm so grateful. I can't tell you the benefits of how I feel today as opposed to how I felt 3 months ago. I'm absolutely, completely able to move my body now in all different shapes and ways. I can walk with ease and comfort. I am completely willing to help anyone else that needs it. I completed the steps yesterday, but I know they're never complete because I work the steps every day. But the threadbare idea that this time I shall handle myself like other people, what does that even mean, other people? There's a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. And that makes so much sense to me because I reached for a hot plate the other day without anything, without gloves on or without any protection for my hand. And I thought, that is just how it goes with my eating problem is now that I've completed, you know, now that I've completed the steps and I've been absent a while, I'm thinking maybe I could handle a bite of yada, yada, yada. You know, something on my alcoholic food list. And that is insane thinking. And today I'm grateful to say that through steps 10, 11, and 12, God is restoring me to sanity. So thank you for letting me share.
Yay to that. Thank you very, very much, Linda KG. Brucey, you're up next, followed by Robin P.
Hey, good morning. It's Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida. I'm recovering. And I thank you, everybody that's on the call and everyone that's doing service here. So you might hear a little bit of background noise here. I'm kind of a busy street here. Almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. Yeah, so all those years that I was trying to quit, and then I'd go ahead and, you know, give in and blow it, take a glass of beer, eat a couple of bowls or taco chips or whatever it was. It usually didn't crowd into my mind to deter it. You know, I didn't have a strong enough determination, willpower, whatever it was that maybe some other people have, but I didn't have it. I couldn't. I didn't have it. get you through it. So the thoughts are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time I can handle it. So yeah, if I even thought about it at all, I'd think, yeah, this time I can do it. I can do it this time. I can just eat this and then quit. And then the next thing I know, man, I was off to the races. You know, I'd try to quit. I'd eat that. I'd try to quit. And I'd just keep going back to it, back to it, back to it. That is a big truck that just went by. So that happened for years until I got into vision here and put down those, made the list of those 25 alcoholic foods and put them down. Wasn't easy. Wow, you know. Some of them kept, you know. And then there were some I had to add to that list too. You know, so I had to add on some of those foods. But, you know, my wife is not a compulsive overeater, a very healthy eater. Fortunately, I'm married to somebody that eats very healthy. But I remember not long after we were first married, we're walking around in a mall, and they had all these, you know, bins in the center of it, bins of different types of candy. You can buy one piece of candy. And she bought one. And thought, oh, that's good, that's good. Oh, that's so rich, that's so rich. And I'm sitting there, standing there, walking with her, thinking that. It's amazing that she had that kind of ability to do that. But then at the same time, I thought, well, that's a different type of insanity than I have. I have the insanity of, if I take one, it's going to be, one's never enough in the thousands. Thousands. One's too many and the thousands not enough. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much. Bruce E. Robin P., you're up next, followed by Joanne R. Oh, Joan R. Hi, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P., and I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Palm Beach Gardens, normally in Costa Rica. And, you know, I just, reading this paragraph, you know, putting that hand on the hot stove over and over and over again, and this time I'm not going to be burned. And, that hazy, just that threadbare idea, you know, that I could safely and sanely compulsively overeat or starve or binge or vomit safely this time. And so many times it was Russian roulette where I woke up with that resolve and today was going to be different because I was going to do it differently. And that definition of insanity, doing that same thing over and over and over again, hoping for a different result. And left to my own devices, the result was nil. It never changed until I fully surrendered, understood that I was completely powerless over food and my life had become unmanageable. And then came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And turn my will and my life over to the care of God. You know, I just know that I can't, God can, and I let him today. And I'm so grateful for my fellows. You know, this is such a wee recovery for me. And, you know, I always remember that illness begins with I and isolation begins with I and wellness begins with we. And the more we I have, the better I do. And, you know, I'm so grateful. I'm a month out of a major surgery and, you know, I'm doing so well. And one of the reasons, you know, I think the main reason is this recovery, you know, because I eat so healthily. I'm an organic vegan and gluten-free. And I just, my food, it's helped me so much to heal so well. It's so my medicine. And that along with my physical exercise, that's a blessing to me today. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for all of you. I'm sending you all big hugs, and you all mean so much to me, and these meetings mean so much to me. It's literally the backbone of my well-being. God bless everybody with a very blessed afternoon day. Thanks a lot. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. So Joan R. is up next. And after Joan, we're going to be taking another lineup. We're commenting on page 24, and there's a solution. The second paragraph begins with the almost certain consequences and ends with one from putting his hand on a hot stove. Please share with us, Joan R.
Hi, my name is Joan R., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. And the part of this wonderful paragraph that jumped out at me is that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. And that is such a lie. And I find that my recovery is such grace from truth that I learned in vision and getting free of the compulsion to eat. And it does happen, you know. We get the promises. We get the promises, and I hadn't experienced those particular promises until last March. And and always now in working, living in steps 10, 11, and 12, it's my responsibility to stop, pause, to look at what my higher power and you guys have taught me, and to know that I am just totally powerless to be able to handle myself. You know, I don't want to anymore. I want to be surrendered to a higher power than myself. And, you know, if you're just new and it seems so impossible, well, you know, that's what our acknowledging our powerlessness is, that it, you know, we are not able, you know, we've tried, we've learned over and over again, like it says, that we cannot take that first bite. And in our surrendering and working the steps, every single one of them is such a gift from this higher power, as we just keep going, keep surrendering, and turning our will and our lives over to a power greater than ourselves, and being willing, you know, becoming willing to do what a recovered sponsor did, and what these first 100 alcoholics teach us. And I'm very grateful, and thank you all. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Joan R. Okay, if you're interested in sharing on page 24, paragraph 2, we do value your experience very much, but we ask that you limit your share to every Thursday in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, in the last two days of meetings, please
Patricia
give me your
P.
name. And I heard you, Patricia P.
Yeah.
Irene B.
Sandy
was that
K.
Was that Carla C?
Yes.
Okay, Carla C. And I'm sorry, I heard somebody else as well.
Sandy K.
Deborah G.
And someone with a cough or a C. Deborah G.
Yeah,
okay,
Patricia P. of Michigan.
Yes, I've got you, Patricia P., and Irene B., and Carla C., and Sandy K., and Deborah G. And was there anybody else who wanted to get in this lineup?
Linnea B.? Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's go with this lineup. Patricia P., you'll be followed by Irene B. And if you're not Patricia P., please press R1 to mute your phone.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Patricia.
Okay. Where it says, if these thoughts occur, they are as hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that we can eat like other people. That I went like that for years. Quite a pile of really for the sweets. I'm a sugarholic, junk food addict. I found that I had to have a simple diet, like it says in Genesis 1:29-30, fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables, and whole grains. I had to do that one day at a time. I couldn't picture life without sweets, so I had to ask God to help me to do that one day at a time. And now it's been over 6 months now that I've been abstinent by His mercy and grace. I have to do that one day at a time and add up my days using the OA toolkit. And with all that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patricia P. Irene B., you're up next, followed by Carla C.
Hi, good morning. My name is actually Irie D. from Southeast Florida. I'm a grateful recovered for today food addict. And, you know, some of the struggle that I've had with these things is that, at least for me, my food eating patterns did not follow the pattern of that they describe in the book, where one beer or one bite of something, immediately I go and stop at every fast food place I can find on my way home and buy it all and eat it all. It's more gradual than that. You know, I'd be on a diet, I'd each go away, I'd go celebrate with a meal, and then slowly I would stay at goal weight about half an hour or so, and then it would start going up from there. But because it wasn't that, you know, I wouldn't end up in jail right after having one bite of pizza. It was easy for me to lie to myself that that wasn't happening. At the same time, the thing with the food, I would go up. I'm a low-bottom food addict, and I'd be at over 300 pounds, having to pay twice as much money to fly in an airplane so I could go first class and fit in the seat, barely fit in the seat. I'd go to the bathroom, barely fit in the bathroom, have to stand sideways to pull my pants up and down, and then I'd get back to my seat and continue to eat. And not be able to make the connection that it was the way I was eating that was causing all of these other consequences in my life. That's the way it worked for me. And so it kept the lie going, and it kept me believing that that this time it would be different, that this time I would follow what the dietitians were telling me, right? Just don't deprive yourself. Celebrate from time to time, celebrate the victories. Well, you know, today, being abstinent for a while now, it's been over 3 years that I've been abstinent and living in 10, 11, and 12, I celebrate the victories by having a hot bath. I celebrate the victories by having a massage. I celebrate the victories by enjoying time with the people that I love. And it's really a new way of looking at what celebrating means, because celebrating has nothing to do with food for me. But it took a long time for me to believe that that was the case. I believed the lie, and that is why the crux of the problem lies in my mind. That's where it centers. It's in my mind. Because if it was just about the allergy, once I put the food down, it would be all over. But it doesn't work that way for me. I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm so grateful to have finally smashed the idea that I can eat like other people. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ari. Appreciate your share. Carla C., you're up next, followed by Sandy K.
Thank you so much. I just love this meeting. I came into this meeting in January, and I'm just so grateful for all the support I get. I have a vision sponsor, and I just love, you know, working in the big book and the consequences that follow, you know, that first drink or bite. For me, I forget about it, you know. I just don't remember. I think I have, like the last caller said, a broken mind. That is the problem, you know. I have allergy of the body and a twist. The thinking is just not correct. You know, I have a husband that can eat whatever he wants and he can stop when he's full. And it's just a lot of challenge, you know, to watch that. Sometimes I was on a vacation in Cancun and it was all inclusive. And, you know, they were able to eat like normal people. And I was just, you know, on a boat trip and I forgot my lunch and my friend had some lozenges in her purse, so I was eating that. And then I was eating anything that, you know, people had on the boat, like grapefruit or things like that. So I just know that once I pick up, I can't stop. So I love this program, and thanks for letting me share, Carla in California.
Thank you very much, Carla in California. Sandy K., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning, everyone. This is Sandy K. I'm another one from South Florida, and I'm in recovery today. I'm going to just agree, and what everyone else has said, it just really resonates with me, and add a little bit something else, I think. When I first came into OA, or before I came in, well, before I came into OA, before I even thought about it, my mind was so foggy from the sugar and the flour, and then the sugar and the flour and all of that, that I never thought about consequences. It just never even entered my mind. Not only wasn't I was hazy, I was, I think somebody said, like in a coma. It didn't never enter my mind that I should stop eating. Part of the reason was I was in denial, not only about how much I was eating, about what I looked like. And then when I finally realized how fat I was and looked in the mirror, I said, oh my God, what have I done? But of course, that wasn't enough to make me stop eating, but at least I had gotten out of the denial, and eventually I found out about OA and went to a meeting. So now I'd like to tell people, I'd like to tell myself that I never have a food thought. That's not true. At one point, I was abstinent for 25 years, and I did have food thoughts, and I went into relapse. I've been in recovery now, I'm not sure, for 5 or 6 years. And the other day, I had a food thought. But the thing is, I had clarity in my mind. I have God consciousness. I live in the solution. I'm spiritually fit. And I did not take that first itty-bitty bite. But the people who can't get off the food, don't know they should get off the food, it really is a pretty terrible thing. So by the grace of God, go I. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sandy K. Deborah G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Lanya B.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for moderating this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible and everyone that's 12-stepped me this morning. And welcome to all the newcomers. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And yes, you know, that mind, that thinking that I have, you know, I've got to treat that thinking every day with these beautiful 12 steps. And I was thinking before that was that I would think about, you know, a food, and then I completely would think about how good it tastes and the ease and comfort and everything that comes with doing that food. This was before recovery, and not thinking about anything that might happen beyond that. It was in my mindset that, oh, I'm going to get relief from this food. It was the familiar brain setting in my mind, that programming that's what I thought I had gotten for a short time before in my past, ever since growing up. That was what I learned growing up, you know, to eat the food, everything. Oh, there's all kinds of things going on. Everything's chaos or what? Food. It was so programmed in my thinking. And I would maybe get a glimpse of the insanity, the unmanageability that was happening, but that was so quickly smoothed over by, again, the thinking that I wanted so badly. It tastes so good. It just, you know, it was just that mindset, my thinking. And then, you know, I can't handle my food like other people. I can't do those alcoholic foods, you know. And when I do see a food today, I still think about that food and how good it looks and how it tasted and the feeling and everything. But today is, I'll have a fleeting thought of that, but today is all of a sudden, I think it's that divine intervention comes in and says, no, but I know if I what's going to happen. I won't stop. Or someone might even say something to me, oh, have some of this. Or, and I'll say, no, you know, once I start, I won't stop. Or I was at another meeting face to face and there was a basket of something. And I said, you know, I can't, if I have just one bite of that, I'll eat the whole basket. And I have taken food in a parking lot so that I could finish it off, not let anybody see. That's that selfish self-centeredness too. You know, I don't want to share the food. I want to. Thank you so much. Just keep doing. But today it's different. And I am so grateful because of these 12 steps. And thank you all.
Thank you too. Lenya B., you are up next, and we'll have time for a couple more shares on page 24, paragraph 2, after Lenya's share. So please share with us.
Oh, thank you so much. Hi, everyone. My name is Lenya B. I'm in Minnesota Central Time. I am a compulsive overeater, and this is the first time I've been on this meeting in quite some time. I am a go to OA, don't go to OA, go to OA, don't go to OA. I think it's called a chronic relapser. And, but that doesn't even fit. It's almost like a chronic denier. Or let me, you know, find anything other than to set down binge food or make parameters around my food. You know, and in the doctor's opinion, it calls us outright mental defectives. And I don't know about you guys, but that is definitely me. And it just blows my mind that I'm on this meeting today for the first time in, like I said, a long time, on my knees, you know, just desperate. And this is the paragraph in the statute in the big book that we're reading. I opened up my book and looked at the page, and I thought about, you know, again, in the doctor's opinion, you know, men and women use this stuff because they like the effect produced. And that is absolutely the truth. You know, the idea that I'm willing to put my hand on the hot stove, pretend I'm not doing it, close my eyes to the life and death consequences that I'm facing. And because I like the effect produced, because food has been my solution. And trying to, it's not a little behavioral thing for me at this point, or even a big behavioral thing, or a psychological thing, or whatever. It really is a life and death matter at this time. I mean, I have significant physical impact from compulsivity, and it's just so demoralizing. The surrender that goes along with admitting that, hey, I've been putting my hand on a hot stove every day for so long. And I know when my daughter, my eldest daughter, was about 2 and
She put her hand on a hot stove. I know what that looks like. I mean, it, you know, I mean, it's awful. And all I have to do is look at my body and the impact of not just the fat, but the impact of what too much food does to my human body and the way my human body is supposed to work. It's not working properly. So, thank you. So, this is a very real thing for me. And many times, you know, I've thought to myself, I'm just like the guy, you know, standing at a bar, you know, slams, you know, how did this happen? You know, every, you know, in the middle of the night, waking up going, okay, that's it. You know, going to the bathroom and saying, okay, that's it. Tomorrow is a new day. And just doing the same thing over and over, putting my hand on a hot stove. And so you guys are here, and there is this chapter called There is a Solution. And so for this moment, there is a solution. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Linnea B. Appreciate your share. We have time for two more shares on page 24, paragraph 2. Who'd like to take
Lisa
those shares?
Lisa Noel E.
Lisa P. and Noel E. All righty. Please share with us, Lisa P.
Hi, Lisa P. from Portland, Oregon. Compulsive overeater. It's so funny. Today, there's not all that many people clamoring on this one. As you know, it's always the opposite. The earlier ones, less people. So, I just want to thank the moderator. I don't know how you keep it straight. So, thanks a lot, Team Friday for August. You know, when I read it, ever since I read this portion of the big book, I didn't understand why they put week or month. You know, I crossed mine out immediately and wrote day. I couldn't understand that. I do see it's in italics, so I relate to that importance of that. And you know how supposedly we can't remember? Well, I remember. I know and always knew that I was different. I always knew that I couldn't control my food, but I still ate. I had sufficient memory to know that I couldn't do it, but I still ate. It's like how people say, oh, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. Well, I didn't expect different results. I knew what was going to happen, and I did it anyway. And so I think that kind of sums up my disease. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Lisa P. Noel E., you're up next.
Hi, this is Noel E., gratefully recovered here in Louisiana. I love this paragraph. I love this page. I know we're on, I know the paragraph we're on, but I will say the paragraph before it is my most quoted one. I always refer to it. And what I'm getting when I read the end of this one, there's a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. It's making me think of like PTSD or like, you know, how you don't go somewhere or you grab the steering wheel tightly and make sure you have your seatbelt on if you're passing a section of the road that you've been in an accident on or something like that. Because that kind of stuff happens infrequently. But as compulsive overeaters, I mean, it was an all-day affair of abuse, just constantly and constantly abusing ourselves. So, the you know, it wasn't a rare occurrence by any mean for us to bristle at, being like, oh gosh, that was painful, because we just were living in pain. And it was, I mean, I'm just starting to come out in a way to the people not in program in my life. God's leading me in that direction, and it's, you know, I'm just a little bit more free every time. And when they're asking about that stuff, I mean, that's what it is. It's abuse. It was a way of living that was just self-abuse all the time. You know, I couldn't react to it because I didn't know anything different. But now I do, because God has saved my life and given me the miracle and the promises this program provides. And I couldn't be more grateful. Thank you for everybody doing service on this line. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Noelle E. And we do have time for one more share. Who'd like to take that?
Betsy H.
Please share with us, Betsy.
Hi, Betsy H., Recover Closer Reader in California. This is a really scary paragraph, like to not be able to remember the pain and suffering of my last binge and to have that insane thought. Yeah, it's very scary. That's my experience of food addiction. And the problem is that it just destroys everything in my life, being in the active addiction. It may go quickly or it may go slowly, but it's horrible. And I'm just grateful that I don't have to live that way today. Today I could be in abstinence and recovery. I could be on a meeting with my fellows. And I can just say to my higher power, as I understand my higher power, okay, what do I need to do today? What do I do today to be abstinent today? And I'll just do that. Just keep it very simple. Because it is an emergency situation. In an emergency, I've got to do whatever it takes to survive. And I've got to do whatever it takes today to be in recovery from this addiction, so it doesn't destroy me, and so that I can be productive today and just kind of be of service to the people around me. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very, very much, Betsy H. and everybody that has shared today. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., compulsive overeater, recovered gratefully today from Colorado Springs via Mexico today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the one who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.